CliffCentral.com.
Ryan, I think you must bring Achi in. We got to do a little. We do a bit of travel on a Tuesday, Travel Tuesday.
Oh, lucky.
And we have something called the window seat, hence the window seats that you've got here around the studio. And Achi is the guy from TTS, which is Tour Vest Travel Services, who has some interesting information to share with us. And it's nice to have you here. How's it, Achi? Grab a seat. Nice to see you. Yeah, very good. Achi Adams is the general manager for marketing at TTS. He's also a football lover and a Jedi master. Yeah, all of those things. Jedi master, right?
Absolutely.
And he reckons that the travel is the thing that we all need to pay more attention to and get right. So very nice to have you here, Achi. Let's just let people know what you look like here. There we go. There's Achi. See, he's not a real Jedi. He's not carrying his lightsaber with him.
No, not today.
No, he's got his lightsaber and his robes.
Mind you, I should have brought it because I remember the last dress-up, you were dressed as a Sith Lord.
I was. I went to one of your parties like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because dressed as the Emperor.
So what I want us to talk about here is that when you go traveling, and I don't know how much traveling you do, Rian, but you strike me as someone who doesn't like to do too much.
Yeah.
You like staying at home.
You know, because the actual booking in of the luggage, the flight, the going through customs, it's an issue for me. I hate it.
That's a drama.
I must be honest. I absolutely hate it, Achi. Hate traveling.
So when I go traveling, one of my favorite things to do is to buy people presents, and then I come back and give them to the family or, you know, friends, and they this is a nice present. But some people collect things, so they go overseas and they get the fridge magnets or they get the whatever it is that they get. Do you have anything like that you do? Do you collect anything?
I actually do. I've been to a few places in my life, but I collect weird stuff, you know, like little rocks from Alcatraz and stuff like that.
That's cool.
The weird voodoo dolls from Mexican cartels. So yeah,
do you have one of those shrunken heads from one of these Caribbean islands?
I don't know if I can say.
No, go on. Go on. You're allowed to have a
the
skull
human
in the
remains
box.
That I have at my house. Not at liberty to discuss that.
All right, but Achi, you collect stuff, right? Because you do a huge amount of traveling. I mean, Achi, for example, because I've known him for a little while now, he keeps a bag in his boot always, ready to go.
Yeah, it's called a go bag.
And you've got a couple of changes of clothes, you've got toiletries in there, and you've got, passport, all of that shit,
all
just
that
ready
stuff.
To go.
Ready to go. You know, at the office, they call me, I'm the B team.
Oh, yeah.
So if the A team's traveling, if something happens, I get the last minute call.
You still get invited.
I think last month I got a call at about 11:30 in the morning. I had to be at the airport at 3:00 to get on a flight to Turkey.
Yeah,
just like that.
So this is not a doomsday prepping thing. This is you're on call all the time.
He's very organized.
You gotta have that go bag.
Yeah, for sure. So while we're talking about travel, I think it's probably useful for you to share this travel thing with us, because some people do collect these things. They take selfies at famous places. I mean, I saw the funniest thing this weekend. Friends of mine who are now parents. They sent a picture of, before you have children, of the two of them at the Eiffel Tower. It's this beautiful Eiffel Tower picture in the background, and they look so romantic and in love with each other. And then after you have children, and they've got a picture of the same couple standing in front of an Eskom pylon. It says this is what you're going to look forward to.
But you travel first class, I guess, or business.
You'd think so. No, unfortunately, we do travel the cheapest way possible. So
Coach.
It would be economy class. We do have friends, obviously, with the airlines, where possible. Yeah, we
it
do
might
try
happen.
And get an upgrade.
He's got a better chance of it than we do.
The sad thing is, once you've traveled business class, it's so hard.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, getting in that plane, you look to your left, business class.
Yes,
you look to your right, especially when you're traveling now personally with the family. And you got to go there and just look to the left, if only. And I always say, I probably could get an upgrade, but just for myself, not the entire family. And that would be the fastest divorce ever. I mean, just I'd be divorced.
Everyone has to sacrifice.
I find when I traveled first class only once in my life, but I find it does turn you into a Roman. You know those Romans that spit on the poor?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you do.
At some point, you do get up and you look around the curtain, past the curtain, and you look at these poor sleeping bastards in the back.
That's the best part of being in first or business class is going to the back and looking through the curtain.
Love it.
Seeing these people squeezed into their seats, uncomfortable as hell, neck problems are on the way.
Mm.
They got to hit the road as soon as they land and they're tired and exhausted. The child screaming next to them that they don't even know. It's horrible.
You still get him, though, at the customs queue, though.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. All right, so what do you do a thing when you go to these famous cities and these famous places. You go to a street that is well-renowned. And each city has a street, right? We were talking to Tracy and Carol just the other day about what's the road in
Phuket? Bangla Road.
Bangla Road.
That's the famous road in Phuket.
So that's where they have all the ping pong shows and all of that stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Bangla.
Exactly.
If you watch on YouTube, you see any videos of Bangla Road, because you can, and you see the people walking past the camera, you'll see the people that are there for the first time. Their eyes are wide open, and that's how you spot them. It's their first time at Bangla Road. Everything is just so shockingly in your face.
Bangla.
Well, that's about right.
Bangla.
Like Bangkok. So, you know?
Exactly. Write that down.
Right.
Bangla.
Okay, so what are the other famous streets around the world? Because I'm not exactly well versed in this stuff.
So, I mean, like New York, for example, there's so many streets in New York. Fifth Avenue for the shopping.
Broadway or whatever, yeah.
Broadway, Wall Street. I mean, there's a movie.
Of course,
Wall Street, so. It's amazing how boring Wall Street is.
So you could really kill three famous streets at least in New York without even trying.
Like London, for example, a big fan of Sherlock Holmes. So I went and sought out 221B Baker Street.
Baker Street,
To go and find that. So yeah, I look for all of these streets. In Turkey, I mean, you've been there as well, in Istanbul, İstiklal.
Yes, that's where it's shopping.
It's crazy. So I look out, if I'm going to a new city, I'll try and find out what's the famous street or stuff like that. And that's what I look out for.
I love it.
It's lovely.
It is. And it's a nice Wonderful. Nice business to be in. I mean, so where did your career start in travel?
Well, my generation, I think pretty much everybody started at SAA.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what, were you serving drinks on board?
No, for a little while, believe it or not.
Chicken and beef.
Were you doing the exits?
Yeah.
The exits.
So we were actually, back in those days at SAA, when you did induction, brought you into the airline.
By the way, I have to show you something. Rian can read this because he's better at this than I am.
The white thing.
No. The weight thing. Have you seen that letter that someone was sent?
Yeah.
Just have a look at this.
Lugdienst.
Les Godai for ons. Listen to this. This is the Rian will do this in the voice of a SRL
ambtenaar. Mejuffrou M.E. de Jager, Lugwarden. It's now written to a Jan Smuts Lughawe.
That's how long ago it is, right?
Yeah, that's where you'll find her. Deur die kajuit dienstebestuurder Jan Smuts Lughawe aangestuur. Just where it's coming from. Geagte mejuffrou. U is op 27 Julie 1972 geweeg.
They weighed her. They weighed her like a champion bull.
By welke geleentheid u 61.20 kilogram geweeg het? Wat 1.10 kilogram oor die toelaatbare maximum in u geval is.
1.10 kilograms too heavy was this poor woman.
So now, it goes on by saying, u word dus tot 25 Augustus 1972 tyd gegun om die saak reg te stel sodat u aan die neergelegde perke voldoen. Dit word echter verlang dat u 2 weekliks geweeg word om te verseker dat u die nodige vordering in hierdie
So she had to come in every 2 weeks to be weighed.
Can you believe this?
That's what they used to have, very strict standards.
Very right? strict.
Well, we should go back to that.
You think so?
Yeah, I think we should go back to this. What's this thing about extended seats and whatnot? You should buy 2 seats if you need an extended seatbelt. If you had a boop, buy an extended
seat. All right, but back to Achi. So you started there.
You started there, and induction was hectic. It was like 3 months at the time. So even though you were hired to work in reservations, you actually got trained to work on certain aircraft. You got trained to work at check-in and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So if ever they needed you, they could second you to a different division or department. And at one time, when the cabin crew were on strike, all the ground crew were asked to go and fly.
Hmm.
So yes, we did do the chicken and beef and stuff like that.
So you really know the inside out of the travel business.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get you back in a future episode to give us some of those hacks.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the most useful thing. There's a list of things that people who travel a lot know about airports, about planes, about ground transport, about accommodation, that the rest of us just don't know because we haven't had the most experience that they have. And it's amazing to me that you can do that. But there's something else I wanted to talk to you about this morning, and that is you only mentioned this to me in passing the other day when I saw you, but the TTS education program.
Yes.
Now, this is not some charity where you're helping schools.
No.
This is about companies that want to send their staff on a trip where they're going to learn something. They're going to participate in something which is educational. Am I more or less right about that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. It's a program that we've relaunched like about a month back. Before COVID, we started this program, I think it was 2017. And for those 3 years before COVID, we managed to take 100 or just over about 115 of our staff to a variety of places around the world.
Where would you go for an educational trip?
Well, typically, I mean, we look at our current client base and our corporate clients, the most frequented cities that they go to overseas, whether it's London or Germany or New York, for example, and we take the staff there so they could get their firsthand insider experience of what it's like for their traveler. You know, the service industry that we're in, you need to be able to provide that superior service. And what better way than being able to tell
because,
that client things?
Because let's face it, too, a lot of these people are working in an office most of the time. They're not the ones who get to go on holiday.
Yeah. Correct.
So when the customer's complaining about something and they have no idea what talking about, it makes it much harder to keep them as a customer.
Yeah. I mean, a good example is, you know, and you always look after your high-paying customers, obviously, as well.
Sure.
A customer flying on Virgin Atlantic, you know, via London to New York, for example, we had a customer phoning and asking, where do I go for the business class lounge? And the consultant knew exactly where it was.
Oh, that's
could
perfect.
Direct him on the phone via WhatsApp, turn left, go up this escalator, or whatever it might be. And, you know, for that customer, that service was unrivaled. And, you know, it built that stickiness and loyalty as well.
I think that's amazing. So you offer this to people with in-house, obviously, but you would do it for clients as well.
Yeah, I mean, if there's an opportunity, you know, the program is a collaboration between us and our suppliers. So we negotiate this with our suppliers. When we take people on these educationals, it's never just one person. It's a group of people, sometimes a small group of just six, sometimes a big group of, you know, I think 18 people on one trip. And we work with the airline, we work with the hotel suppliers to take people on these trips. So yes, you know, key suppliers would be able to join us on that.
Well, Rian's thinking of bringing a bunch of nudists out here for a TV show he's filming. Maybe maybe you should talk to him after. Because that's an educational trip, I think. Don't you?
Absolutely.
No, I think it's a very educational.
Talk to your supplier, bring on a plane full of nudists.
So, Achie, tell us, what's the best trip you've been on? Because you've traveled all over the world. Give us something to be jealous of.
From an educational perspective, was definitely New York. I mean, from entering the country for the first time and almost getting turned away because of my name.
Yeah, because of your color of skin also.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know. I mean, my name is Achie, right? It's my professional name. It's Aramaic for brother. But my passport name is Ahmed. opens up a can of worms.
Muslim.
And my surname is Adam.
They pat you down really carefully.
No, they strip her. They stripped him naked in that back room there.
Not that bad. Almost. Monet will tell you as well. He was with me on the trip. And the customs official tells me that I have a fraudulent passport.
What?
And I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, I've got my visa in there, everything. He says, they messed up your passport because you've got a first name as a last name and a last name as a first name. Because in America, Ahmed is a last name and Adam is a first name. And we're having this back and forth. And eventually, the easiest way out was an African-American gentleman. And I said, do you know why it's like that? Because of apartheid.
Oh, suddenly.
And he's like, oh, man, apartheid.
I remember
that should
Mandela.
Be effed up, man. You can go, boom, boom, boom. He steps the passport. And finished to get
so through. You see, it helps. There's a way we can make apartheid work for people after all.
It helped.
They also pulled me out of the queue.
Really?
Really? Huh? Do you look...
He does look like a Bond villain.
So what did they... did they tell you what they were looking for?
Guy came up to me. And this he done. Then you think, you see, I thought I knew how these things worked. You know, but you don't. They do things differently. The guy pulled me out and said, sir, can you just come with me, please? I said, well, why? Oh, just, sir, Just step.
Please away don't from ask the, any questions.
Were they at least polite? Because they were really polite.
No, yeah. He walked straight to me and he said, "You, sir, come with me." And they put you in this box thing. I don't know if this happened to you before. And it's weird winds blowing with streams of air from different sections. Just in this box thing. And you feel like you come from the jungle.
But what do you think that is?
I don't know.
I think it's just the randomness of it.
What is it?
That's no idea. Very odd. That seems idea. Very
had
odd.
A lovely blow wave when I walked out of there. Weird.
All right, anyway. Well, tell me where we wouldn't want to go. Like, because you've probably been to some countries that you thought, I don't need to go there again.
No, I've never had that.
Really?
Never had that.
Always, you're one of those explorers.
Yeah, I mean, I'll find the good in everything. So, okay. And, you know, just back on New York, why it was memorable. I mean, it was my first trip. And you've seen it in the movies, you've seen it on TV.
It looks just like it does in the movies.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were staying at the Marriott Marquis on Times Square. We landed at about 1 a.m. in the morning. And we got there, obviously wide awake, jet lag and all of that. Left the bag. Again, at every hotel we stayed at, they couldn't find my name because it was the other way around.
Right, yeah.
So everywhere I went, I started introducing myself as Adam. So when I meet an American, my name's
easy.
Adam.
It's just easier. Yeah. Why do that to yourself?
And at 1 o'clock, I said, I've got to go to Times Square. We're right here. I've got to go to Times Square. Yeah. I've got to go get a hot dog on Times Square. And it had just rained for about 3 hours, lashed down. We didn't know that. We were in the air. And I got to Times Square, and I'll send you the photo. I mean, it was empty.
Horrible.
It was eerie.
And that place is never empty.
Never empty. I mean,
it's been empty once for that Tom Cruise movie and once during COVID.
Once during COVID, because there was that eerie picture during COVID where Times Square was just shut down.
We counted one police car, one Russian with a suitcase asking for directions, and one hot dog stand that was open. Mm. So,
what's your favorite place to go, Beatman? Where do you like traveling, if you do?
I want to ask you, Achie, have you been to Mexico?
Nope. I've been to only 17 countries, unlike my colleagues that have been to like 50. So Mexico is definitely on the list.
Can I suggest for you?
Yes.
You'll go to Mexico. Yes, amen.
Nice.
I was on a tequila crawl in Mexico. I actually went to a bar and I said, listen, I'm in Mexico. Make me a list of the top 5 tequilas in Mexico. And the guy made top 10. So sorry.
Right.
And he said, here's the 10 you have to try before you leave. So I started on the list, number 10. Eventually, I ran into someone from some Polish journalist. And then when I got to number 3, I was talking Afrikaans to these Mexicans because they only speak Spanish. And we understood one another.
Tequila's magic.
So at some point,
the best translator.
At some point, the guy goes to me. This is now 2 or 3 in the morning. The owner of the tavern, whatever you want to call it, he said to me, "Sir, can you come outside quickly? I want to show you something." And I said, "Yeah. What do you want to show me?" So, just come with me, sir. And we walked out, and I just heard the door slam behind me.
Oh.
And I was on the streets in Mexico.
But Mexico City?
You're just taking your chances.
Yeah, yeah. So now I'm trying to find the hotel. But I'm because I'm poop drunk. So, yeah.
And was this before we had GPS on our phones?
Yes,
or was this
before.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, okay. I'm off the inclination. So on my way, I see a lovely young Mexican gentleman. Standing next to a wall. But everyone's beautiful in Mexico City. I don't know why. It's not what I expected. I expected the guy on the Bicon Bites back.
Yeah, or Chief Marin.
With the donkey. It's not what they look like. But anyway, so this guy, and he's got the shirt unbuttoned a bit, standing, next to white shirt. Right. Lovely. So I say, you want a shot? Shooter? Tequila? He goes, tequila, yeah. So I say, okay, come with me. Follow me. So anyways, we stumble. Eventually, I get to the hotel. Now, they think the whole time that you're going to be kidnapped. Mexico.
There are these stories about the cartels. Yeah.
So when you arrive, apparently that is just par for the course, but when you arrive with some stranger at the hotel, they take all the guys, all girls, you know, identity documents, wallets, just in case they kill you, you know, or kidnap.
Because that does happen, right?
Anyway, so we go up to the room. They take all his stuff, by the way. Take his wallet, everything. So we go up to the room. One thing leads to another. And in the early hours of the morning, I wake up. And he says to me, "Es la warranto cartanego?" I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" "Es la warranto?" I'm like, okay. Luckily, I've got my book, you know, the Spanish.
Oh, so you
English.
Were translating on the spur of the moment. All right,
so,
go.
So I decide I must have picked up a prostitute.
Oh, shit.
I find my phrase book. So I guess he probably wants money. So I go through my phrase book and I get how much. I can't remember now what it's in Spanish.
In French, it would be combien.
Yeah, I can't remember, yeah, but right. I say something like, "Esto cambienas?" He looks at me and he bursts out laughing. He bursts out laughing, this Mexican guy. And he says, "No, no, no. A key, door."
Oh, my God. And you just called him a prostitute. Nice.
Good times in Mexico.
Nice. Well, there that sounded like a good time.
It was.
Jeez. You know, but you can only, some things you can only do when you're overseas. You can only do certain things. Like, I mean,
like that, prostitutes.
That bungalow road you were talking about. That's not the kind of thing. If we had a, what is Joburg Street?
What, Brie?
Not Brie. No. That's a disaster. Too soon. Too soon. What do you think Joburg Street is?
It's got to be where Summit is, right? Like, you know, they're in Hillbrow, right? Or like, it's like, it's dirty, it's grimy, it's probably.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah.
It would have been that. Maybe now it would be different. Yeah. Maybe now it would be somewhere
else. You see
outside.
Now, Gareth, I'd like to point out a point, like a learning opportunity here for you.
Okay.
You went to Mexico and you went and visited all these historical facts.
Yeah.
These are stories we wanted from Mexico.
I'm sorry. Next time I'll go with Rian and then we'll have a funny story. But Achi, great to have you on the show, and we will obviously have you back again soon. We've got to get those hacks.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
What you can do. I discovered a hack the other day. So you guys gave me one of those Apple tags that I put in my luggage. Mm. Now
you can find your luggage anywhere.
Well, first of all, what is the most scary thing for some people? Oh no, they've left my luggage in Joburg. So as soon as I landed at the airport in this last trip, I go onto my phone, I go to devices, I look for my luggage, and it tells me it's on the conveyor belt. It says it's very near.
Wow.
It goes 8 meters, 7 meters,
what?
6 meters, 5 meters, 4, and then eventually your bag is right in front of you. Pull it off. You don't need to stand there and run up and down the luggage thing. Plus,
incredible.
If it was in Joburg, it would show up in Joburg. So
yeah.
You can actually say before, you know, normally you'd have to wait for an extra half hour just in case your bag is the last one. Now you can actually just see where it is anywhere. You can see it going off the plane onto the tremendous.
Incredible. Track yeah. There's a small little thing like
there's that. There's a hack for you.
That is a hack.
That's why I also have a Samsung.
Well, it's an Apple product, so you can buy it from the iStore.
You can also get one from a Samsung. Come on, guys. Don't push Apple.
All right. That is the window seat, and you can find out more about all the travel opportunities that await you. And you don't have to think that this is something that you'll spend the next 8 months eating crackers in order to afford. There are all kinds of options on travel.co.za. Go and check it out. Travel.co.za. Cliffcentral.com.